Welcome to the Anima podcast, where we explore design with soul. I'm Dejan Sujic, the editor of Anima, the print magazine, and your host. I've had a lifelong fascination for design and what things mean, as well as how they look and feel. In every episode, I'll be talking to the people whose work and ideas have shaped the way that we all live, or in some cases, to the people who are going to be changing our lives in the future. This episode's guest is Antonio Citterio, perhaps the most successful and prolific furniture designer of his generation. He grew up in Meda, the heart of Italy's furniture industry, and had started working with Flexform on his first designs when he was still an architecture student at Milan Polytechnic. We talked about how he learned to make a chair with his own hands, the importance of memory for a designer, and understanding the many uses of a sofa. Antonio Citterio, we are in the Flexform factory in Meda, which is a kind of special place for you. I think you grew up in Meda, and this particular factory was where you almost began your career.
Yes, you know, I was born in Meda, you know, I was born in Meda in the 50, you know, and in the 50, Meda, it was the beginning of many company, you know. If you think, for example, some company like Cassina, or some company like B&B, CMB, and then B&B, you know, Elam, Giorgetti, Minotti, Galimberti, Flexform. You know, it was a place for contemporary design in that time. You know, some people, they say that the furniture start in Meda. Sometimes it's true, you know, because if you think people like Joe Ponti, you know, they start to do furniture for the quasi boards, you know, and in Meda. But you know, many few people know about that. Terragni, Giuseppe Terragni, it was born in Meda.
I did not know that.
Yes, and you know, and after 5-6 years old, she moved to Como. But the father, it was, and you know, he was born here in Meda. And for that reason, there is something here, no? You know, it's like, you know, in certain area grow the tartufi, and all the time they grow in that place. More or less is the same place for mushroom, you know?
You know, I once had a conversation with the wonderful architect Enrique Miralles, and we talked about why do some places nurture talent, and he said exactly that. It's like mushrooms. Put one mushroom together and they grow.
It's also a question, when you have this osmosis situation, it's become quite natural, because I remember the discussion me and my father when I was young, 12, 13, we already talk about design, we already talk about, you know, furniture. And I remember one of the first discussions with my father, because he talked about Terragni, and Terragni did the exhibition he made about his furniture, you know? And my father said, you know, the design, it was terrible.
A very fierce critic, your father.
Exactly. It was terrible, because my father designed, draw in the old style, you know, and I grow in this old style furniture, like 700 from Luigi XV, Louis XV, Louis XIV, you know, provincial style. You know, that it was the spirit, you know, for many, many people who were in Brianza, in Meda.
So your father was shocked by your design?
Exactly. My father, it was shocked about my design. Because, you know, I grew in Meda, but really early, I go to the design school in Cantù, the Istituto d'Arte, before the Polytechnic. And for that reason, already at 14 years old, I start to talk about design. Yeah. And furniture, You know, it's and when you grow in a situation like that, everything has become quite natural, no? Because my father gave me a little workplace. I remember because the normal table, no, from the craftsman like my father, it was high like this, and he did a little one for you. And I 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, and I did my toys, you know, my hand in boots, no, and it's a completely different, you know, now what really happened. I can imagine my son with this little table close to my table, but it was like that. To do design and furniture design, in the end of the day, for me, it was really natural situation. No? And for example, when I start to work with Flexform, it's really a part of this social situation, because one of the brother, it was a friend of mine, and then one day he said, well, we don't try to come here. Why we don't start to work a little bit also with us? My age, it was 22 years old, you know? And I started to do furniture here around the 72, 73. I was student in university, but I started to do design in reality from 14 years old. And at 18 years old, I already won a design competition here in Brianza, and at 19 years old, I start to make money with royalty, with other company.
You make it sound so easy.
No, it's, it was, I have to say, it was easy, natural. It's like when you go with the bicycle, no? It's a little bit difficult at the beginning, but after you go. And for me to do design, it was like that, because after Flexform I start with B&B and then.
But you studied architecture at the Politecnico. There was no design classes then?
No. I started to do architecture, I started to study in the Polytechnic in Milano in 70, 20 years old. But in the meantime I was, a militar, and you know, I did some examination in this time. You know, I have excuse to come back. It was a, and I graduated in the 75. I start to do some interiors, because at the beginning I didn't have any big project, because I decided to stay with my own office. I never work with other architects. You know, just. I work with other architects in the 80s when I worked with Gregotti, but it was not, I didn't work in the Gregotti office. I did a project together, you know, with my friend Pierluigi Cerri.
This was in the Brera?
For the Brera Museum, yes. In reality, if I'm thinking again, it was so strange, you know, to do architecture without experience in another office. You know, I don't want to say it was extravagant, but I want to say it was sometimes a little bit, you know, you don't really know very well how is the profession.
Well, you know, some people say that no architect should build a house until they're past 40, because you need experience.
Yeah, but in the end of the day, it was true. You know, the really big changing in my profession, it was Mr. Busnelli, you know, the owner of B&B, gave me the first house, and then immediately Doug Tompkins. Doug Tompkins gave me the opportunity to build, not just in Italy, but also in other country, and that it was really the beginning of my architectural profession. You know, Luis can say many times, you know, you have become an architect after 50, you know, and maybe it's true, you know. I'm still learning, you know. For example, you know, yesterday we have a big meeting. Because you, in architecture, you're still learning. You know, for example, it's not a question just, a question of design of an architecture or design of the building. Learn means all the time you have to know what's happening in technology, how is the evolution of the technology, how is the, you have two levels in the project in architecture. You have one level is the your critic, and when you grow, you know more and more and more, and the vision of your project is really more clear and really more a synthesis. You understand when something is right, and it's not a question of formal or formality or the idea of invention, because sometimes in architecture you don't really need invention, but you have to understand if it's right or not, if it's the right place, the right decision, the right consideration of your project. And then in the other side you have a lot of question about norm, about economics, technology, efficiency, cost. It's the profession has become really, really complex. It's not an easy job to do architecture. To do design is another question. It's you don't compete with your client. You are together, and this is a big difference between architecture and design. Design is it's a team, and the client is a part of the team, and it's a completely different approach. And the history, we are talking about Flexform. Flexform is exactly like this. When we start to work in the 70s, until 50 years, because it's 50 years this year, maybe 51, we don't have a conflict. All the time we are thinking together. We have a goal, and the goal, we have a direction, we are working together for the goal. And sometimes I am a designer, sometimes I'm thinking more in the industrial mind, I'm thinking in the strategy, and sometimes I have idea from the company. They prepare some prototype and they show to me and say, what do you think? Is not an idea for to do something like that? The collaboration is the real secret of the success of collaboration between a designer and a client. This the idea of the team, and for that reason, I wrote sometimes these sentences. The design is a part of the humus of the industrial company. It's not something outside. It's a part of the spirit of the company. And more in the company, you create design. It's a part of the industrial process. The design is not something you can think without that. In the manufacturing company. And to do sofa, to do furniture, it's a manufacturing company, And the creativity is really part of this process. It's very difficult to think without that. For example, we just talked before, half hour before with her, why now, for example, it's very difficult to find new young designer in this world? Because they are disconnected of this industrial process, and it's very difficult to create something if you are not inside. When I say I start to work in Flexform in the 72, yes, I start to work, but how it was my work in the 72 here? I stay here all afternoon, many two or three afternoon a week. Just for, not all afternoon, but two or three hours. And
Were you cutting textiles yourself?
Exactly, exactly. I tried to understand how, you know, to think a sofa, and then you start to think the dimension of the fabric. And when you think about the dimension of the fabric, you have to know how you can cut the fabric. How is the idea don't lose a lot of fabric? Because, you know, can you imagine some young designer, they are thinking about sofa, but they don't have any idea about fabric. Fabric is like pepper, for example. And when you imagine three-dimensional pepper, three-dimensional, immediately, you know, you have to understand how you cut the fabric, how you can do the seam of the fabric, you know, how is the... It's like when you think, for example, a jacket, and then you have to think how you can fix this part of the jacket to the other part. If you don't have this 3D mind, you know, it's impossible to create, for example, a soft volume, but with, you know, three-dimensional material. Fabric is not three-dimensional, it's b-dimensional. And when you try to realize that, and this is very difficult to think something like that without experience, without really to understand how you produce, you know?
But you're also thinking about what this piece of furniture does. I mean, the idea of putting a sofa in the middle of a space was something...
Yeah, but this is another part. You know, to do design, to do architecture, is not enough to know the technology, to know the process, that for sure, no? But at the beginning, I'm just talk to you about at the beginning. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, it was important this process, to know the process. When you know the process, you know, you forget the process because it's not anymore a question. And then you start to think other idea. You know, what does it mean? For example, a sofa means for many years in the, from, you know, 700, 600 to 900, the typology of the sofa, it was more or less all the time the same. It was something for conversation, and really, really few houses, you know, they have a sofa, because the sofa is coming in the 60, you know, in the 50, the 60, but, you know, the sofa, it was really something for the rich people, bourgeois, who you know, they have this ambience for to deceive people. The sofa, the contemporary sofa, is a completely different. It's not anymore something for receive, and it's private. And for that reason, the sofa has become a soft. Something for relax, and you know, the Grand Piece, for example, it was exactly in this direction. No, you need this soft cushion. You know, it's your own comfort. You know, it's not something think I'm doing for receive and take a cup of coffee or cup of tea. You know, it's not. You know, you think the product for yourself, for your family, you know.
Where does the name Ground Piece come from?
Oh, Ground Piece is coming from Donald Judd, you know. it's coming from because you have product from the...
And it's true that you'd been to New York and you'd seen some of the artists' lofts.
So in the 70s, yes. But I saw also the Marfa Museum in New Mexico. It's a fantastic place. And, you know, I have a little sculpture of Donald in my apartment. And, you know, the arm of the Grand Piece is, I don't want to say it's Donald Judd, but it's a little inspiration about this the simplicity. You know, Donald did also some furniture, I'm sure you know. But it was too extreme. But if, you know, the lucky situation in the Grand Prix, we use this signage of this minimal design and the arm, and we have the opposite. It's the opposite of this huge cushion, no? And you know, you have this soft and really clean and simple arm. The contrast between these two elements, I think it was the lucky. It was the idea of the product. The other idea, it was to think sofa for the middle of the room without practically the back, you know. And but that it was an idea coming when I remember in 2000 I started to do a project for Bulgari, you know, and in Milano. I remember I have this this long living area, the whole practically the hotel. And I need something in the middle, you know, like a vis-a-vis, you know. I thought, okay, maybe some people, they sit here, they look this way. Some people, they sit there. And this element is become a central element. It's a soft, you know, surface. And I imagine people sit there and drink there, you know. So far, it's a part of a movie all the time, you know. You imagine people. It's an imagination of lifestyle, no? You imagine people, you know. And for that reason, I am full in of this story in Flexmon, because all the time, for example, you have a sofa and then you have a little chair close to the sofa. Then you imagine someone talk with the other one, and then another little table here because someone talk and drink, and then you have that, and then someone start to be more comfortable, and they need more cushion there. You know, it's really an imagination of a little movie, This is not. I'm working around that, not just in the sofa, but in general when I'm working in the interior. No, you know, I imagine people. I imagine sceneggiatura.
A chair is very different from a sofa, isn't it? It's a very different project.
Chair is a very difficult project, and is very different than sofa, because sofa, in the end of the day, is a cushion. In my tipo, chair really depends, for example, from the materials, and I have a regular, no, I have a norm myself for a chair. Maximum, I have to use two materials. It's not possible to do a chair with more than two, you know. When you have experience, you have a lot of, you start with some your norm. For example, our legs. Then the normal legs is 94, no, from where you are seat to the floor. And in this case, when you know this norm, you know immediately, if you do the seat 54, deep 54, you can do the chair high 40, because in the magic number is 24. And really few people, they know that. Maybe nobody know that, or someone, they know that. But if you have in mind certain number or certain norm, you know, immediately the proportion of the chair is clear, because or it's deep and low, or it's high and short. And, you know, the inclination of the back, you have 102 degrees. The dimension of the arm, minimum inside, you have to stay 48. It's this kind, this is really part of the experience, you know. And It's interesting also, Hans Wegener, you know, I wrote just a sentence from him. When I'm designing a chair, I imagine someone sit on that chair. It's true, you know, if you do a chair and you don't really think someone sit there, it's not a chair. It's become another thing.
But when you were working, for example, on the ABC chair, of course there were all those things there, but also there was a memory of rationalist architecture.
Yeah, but ABC tell part of my story, because I have two main school of mind when I start to do design. The one, it was the American school, Cambrooke, Eames, you know, and in that case, for example, you have the relationship very clear from the company, from the production and the design. The design, it was really part of an industrial research. The other school of mind, for me, it was the rationalist, the proto-rationalist, Italian proto-rationalist. For example, ABC, okay, it's very difficult to say it's Terragni, but because if you try to find something,
it's not like there.
It's not there. But, you know, the idea of the tube, the idea of this simplicity, for example, the curve, the bite of the tube, you know, is really like the 30. Because, you know, when you use the tube, the real tube, you have a curve. When you use the full steel, you can bite like this. And these little details, you know, is the clear sign of the memory. I want to do, okay, I have this soft cushion with a sophisticated movement, because ABC, you know, you have, it's become relaxed with a parallelogram inside, quite sophisticated idea. But the real, the signage of the chair is this memory, you know, is, okay, I want to, it's a little bit false technology, but now you can produce that, you know, more or less is like also Le Corbusier, they have the same detail. But the same detail is because they did when in the market it was not the tube, it was a full steel. And then when you have a full steel, you have these details, you know. You play a little bit, you know, when you do your job. And I don't know how many people they really understand this detail. Why I use this, you know, corner and not a normal, because to do like this, the cost is 10 times for the normal tube, for the normal curve, you know? Because here you have to cut, you have to bending, you need welding again and clean, you know, it's really complicated details. But it's like this. For example, look the Barcelona chair. Barcelona chair, you know, is the most famous and known chair in the world, no?
But there's an argument about that. That's another program.
No, but it's if you think, for example, the details of the joint in the middle, when you have, you know, you have the connection of these two parts, you know, it's completely impossible to produce. In fact, for example, if you see also after 60 years or 70 years or maybe more, or 80 years, you know, they do by hand, because you need a piece of steel in the middle, and then you weld one part, and then you weld another part, and then you weld another part, and then by hand you do this.
He was torturing the manufacturer.
You know, sometimes the design story, you know, is full of not real clear process. You know, I told you at the beginning, design, it's a part of industrial process. The creativity is a part of the industrial process. Doesn't mean all the time you have to use the industrial process for to do design. You know, if you know the story, if you know the law, you can decide
to break it.
Break the law. You know, this is sometimes it's also a little secret. No, in to know and to decide. Okay, break it.
But the language of ABC was very calm for its time. It was surrounded by crazy stuff in design terms.
Yeah, but this is, in the end, it was my approach, because what I did in the end of 70, it was completely out of the market and out of also the critique of design, because you know, I start to work early, and I think in the just after maybe 20 years, I start I start to become a little bit known. Okay, you are one of the first design critique who give me in the 80s the cover of the magazine.
And Terry was on the cover also.
Exactly, with my wife Terry.
Yeah.
No, not because now we are talking, but you are really one of the first my discover critic of design. You know, it's because my design, it was not. I grow, you know, in the 70s, you know, Archizum in one hand. You know, I remember, for example, you know, you just talked before you saw Andrea last night.
Andrea Branzi, yeah.
Andrea Branzi, and I remember Andrea Branzi in the 75, 76. I spent a little vacation close to, it was a case, you know, in Tuscany, we rent a little farm, and they stay in another little farm, and but I met him and all the other people from Archizum in the middle of 70. But you know, in that moment, you know, Archizum and my approach in design, it was really, really, it was
different planets,
you know. And you know, after many years, we have become friends, me and Andrea. And you know, I'm sure you read the presentation in my design book about him, you know. And for me, it was quite impossible to think at that time he had so many respect to me when we were so far away. And you know, but doesn't mean if you start from far away, don't respect the approach, the different approach in our profession. No? And when you know, I start in the 70s, we have this radical moment, or radical in one end, and the other end, it was more pop, you know, approach, the you know, Gaetano Pesce, Bellini, you know, it was the design, it was something really expressive, really pop, you know, really. My design, it was.
You don't like to shout.
No, but it's. I decide to stay there, no, because I you know, I learn a lot about the American school and this Italian nationalist, and I decide to stay there. And the other one, it was very famous, old magazine, and everybody they talk about. You know, this movement, that movement in the 70s, in the 80s, but you know, after you know, the...
But in 50 years with FlexSwarm, it's not that you've stood still. I mean, the work that you're doing now is still inventing. I mean, as you said, you don't always want to invent, but something like Happy is based on a new way of cutting the steel framework, is it not?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that gives you a... So you're always looking for the next thing.
Yeah, sure. You know, it's... You have to think. For example, when you start to do a new product, because in the end of the day we need to do something new every 1 year, every 2 years. You know, company they need, you know? And where the idea is coming, you know, it's coming sometime from material or for industrial process. You know, Happy is coming from this laser. Idea how we can cut the steel, how we can, you know, more or less, is the same than when you think about fabric. You know, you start from bidimensional material and how we can use material totally and don't. You know, lose material.
No waste.
Yeah, no waste.
Yeah.
And the laser is really close to the fabric. It's in the same logic, you know. And for that reason, for example, you don't have, you know, why these legs is like this? Because if it's so inclined, you can do exactly another one like this, another one like that, another one like that. You know, you don't lose material, you know. And or maybe in the lee chair, no? You know, the idea of this natural material, you know, is not, this is not pepper, it's material from the lake, the palude, you know, and, you know, lacustre. It's a plant, you know, and mm-hmm. then, you know, you use like this.
Yeah.
This material, it was really in the 40s, in the 50s, we have a lot of material like this in Brianza.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea to use that, it was this link of the place.
But there's also other historical memories in this Lee. I mean, English arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts, yes. But, you know, the memory in my design is still, all the time, it's something part of, you know, my approach. I try to do contemporary, but I don't know why, you know, all the time I try. I am not like my father. My father, they really copy Luigi XV, but I like this touch of memory, you know, this touch of something, you know, comfort. You know, I read something done by Francesco Bonami. He wrote, you know, for the design book, and he thought about my design is like a comfort food. But comfort food, you know, is very important to what does it mean comfort food? Because for me, comfort food is tagliatelle alla bolognese. You know, means something
that your grandmother made.
Maybe, yeah, but it's a history of this plate, and nothing really changed, but sometimes there is some little kick, little, you know, something different, but the base of this food is really, you know, it's an evolution. It's an evolution. And design is evolution. It's really, you know, for example, Castiglioni talked many times about, for example, the arm, you know, the hammer, you know, when that. You know, it's an evolution. And design is evolution. You know, you start from something, and then, you know, it's, and I really like to do that in, it's like a little step, you know, you do a step, and then another step, and then, you know, someone, they take your testimony, and then they do another step, and then they do another, it's we are really working for the quality of life, you know, and we need to believe in that. We need to believe in the future. We need to be positive. And if you believe in the future and you are positive, you really work in this, in the human, in this part of human culture. And you can do a little step in this quality of life. And I think that is the role of the designer and the architect is exactly like that.
I think that's a fantastic way to end the conversation. Antonio Citterio, thank you so much for talking about your work at Flexsoul.
Grazie.